This Morning, America's First News, starts right after this. As a small business owner, you need protection for your physical and financial assets. From general and professional liability insurance to business owners and commercial auto policies, GEICO can help. Go to geicocommercial.com for your free quote and see how much you could save today.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This Morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Bloomberg pounded in Vegas. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. Thursday, February 20th. Glad you're with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
His rivals were in attack mode as former New York City Mayor Mike Bloomberg made his debut in a presidential debate. You'll hear some of the criticisms.
Two elderly passengers from the Diamond Princess cruise ship off Japan have died from the coronavirus.
Officials in Germany are investigating a terrorist incident in which they say a gunman killed 8 people, plus his mother and himself.
And NASCAR driver Ryan Newman walked out of the hospital yesterday, 2 days after a horrific crash at the Daytona 500. Safety improvements get the credit.
If you look at what happened after Dale Earnhardt, NASCAR people took a lot of steps with safety. They made a lot of advancements, and one of them is requiring head and neck restraints in the car. Another is providing better and more energy absorbing walls.
Brent Scrotenbor at USA Today on how NASCAR drivers walk away from crashes at 200 miles an hour. As expected, Mike Bloomberg's first appearance on the presidential debate stage was a fiery one. The former New York City mayor found himself under attack immediately last night in Las Vegas, where he faced five other Democratic presidential hopefuls. He was called out for policies like stop and frisk, and Elizabeth Warren accused him of once referring to women as horse-faced lesbians. She also called for Mr. Bloomberg to release women who've sued his company from non-disclosure agreements.
Non-disclosure agreements?
How many is
that? Let me
there?
Finish.
How many is that?
None of them accuse me of doing anything other than maybe they didn't like the joke I told.
Mr. Bloomberg painted frontrunner Bernie Sanders as unable to beat President Trump.
I don't think there's any chance of the senator beating President Trump. You don't start out by saying, I've got 160 million people. I'm going to take away the insurance plan that they love.
Amy Klobuchar criticized Senators Warren and Sanders for their health care plans.
Since we're in Vegas, when it comes to your plan, Elizabeth and Bernie's, on Medicare for All, you don't put your money on a number that's not even on the wheel.
The debate was co-hosted by NBC. Super Tuesday, by the way, is in 13 days. President Trump countered the Democratic debate with a rally in Phoenix, his first of three stops in the West this week. He told supporters at the Arizona Veterans Memorial Coliseum that the unemployment rate during his tenure was the lowest of any U.S. president in recorded history. He added that there are record low unemployment rates for African Americans, Hispanics, women, veterans, disabled people, and workers without a high school diploma. The president also, not surprisingly, took shots at Mike Bloomberg during the debate.
And now they have a new member of the crew, Mini Mike. Mini Mike. No boxes. We call them no boxes. And I hear he's getting pounded tonight. You know he's in a debate. I hear they're pounding him.
The president kicked off the rally by paying tribute to a World War II veteran who was carried down the aisle to his seat by two Trump supporters. A video of the moment is circulating on social media. Two elderly cruise ship passengers with coronavirus who were on the Diamond Princess anchored off Japan have died. Japan's health ministry said the 87-year-old man and 84-year-old woman had previously been hospitalized in serious condition and had existing chronic diseases. Johns Hopkins Center for System Science and Engineering, which has built a map of coronavirus data, including cases, fatalities, and recoveries, also cites the two deaths from the Diamond Princess. The center says there were 621 cases of the virus among the 3,700 passengers and crew on board. That makes the ship the site of the most infections outside of China. Dr. Anthony Fauci with the National Institutes of Health.
If we get a worldwide pandemic where you have sustained transmission in multiple regions throughout the world, then it's going to be very difficult to adequately contain it anywhere.
The two deaths reported earlier today were the first on record from the cruise liner. Meanwhile, passengers began to return to land yesterday after a two-week quarantine on the Diamond Princess, which remains docked in Yokohama. It's 11 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Let me tell you about my new favorite way to pass the time while commuting. It's the app called Blinkist. Blinkist works on your phone, your tablet, or your web browser. Blinkist takes the need-to-know information from thousands of nonfiction books and whittles it down to just 15 minutes. Successful people like business leaders are well known for reading self-improvement books. I just finished listening to Snowball, a Warren Buffett biography. Listen to Blinkist while commuting or maybe exercising, even while you're waiting for your kids to finish practice. Blinkist has the latest titles from bestseller lists as well as the classic nonfiction titles you always meant to read. I also like listening to some of the history titles since I never had much good history in school. Right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer just for our audience. Go to Blinkist.com/morning to try it free for 7 days and save 25% off your new subscription. That's Blinkist, spelled B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T, Blinkist.com/morning to start your free 7-day trial. You'll also save 25%, but only when you sign up at Blinkist.com/morning. Mike Bloomberg's presidential campaign is hiring hundreds of workers in California ahead of Super Tuesday to post regularly on their personal social media accounts in support of the candidate and is paying them for it. To be clear, most campaigns encourage their supporters to post on social media about their candidates, but Wall Street Journal reporter Georgia Wells says paying them at this scale to express support on their personal accounts is unusual. It's an exclusive story. Georgia, what have you uncovered?
The Bloomberg campaign is hiring hundreds of people across the state of California. This is a pilot program, and they're paying them to post, to basically do digital organizing online and to post on social media and text their friends all about their support for Bloomberg. What's interesting here, though, is if you're on the other side of it as a friend, you won't have any indication that this person is receiving a salary for these posts.
So is there a blurry line, then, between paid content on, say, Facebook or Twitter, since a person's getting paid, versus, a regular old post?
Yeah, so if you're looking at it from the brand advertising marketing perspective, in that arena, the FTC is going to come down and said, if you're receiving money for posting, you got to label it as such. But this is sort of a new arena now in politics. The way the Bloomberg campaign views it, as this is an evolution of the more traditional political organizing roles where people might be going out to their friends or calling people or knocking door to door to door.
Yeah.
But the Federal Election Commission, which is in charge of this space, hasn't come out and said kind of where they would draw any lines around this or not draw any lines around this.
What are some of these folks getting paid to be a kind of social media, I don't know, experts, posters?
$2,500 a month.
Wow.
It includes, yeah, I mean, for a lot of people, that's good money. And it would be 20 to 30, or for the folks we spoke to, 20 to 30 hours a week of work. And so, you know, 20 to 30 hours a week, you have a lot of time to post to social media and to message your friends.
Right. As part of that, too, did you say that if you agree to be part of this social media army, part of that requires you to give up your contact list, like in your phone?
Yeah, and so, well, they agree to message all of their contacts, not necessarily to give all of their contacts over to the campaign. We played with, you know, versions of the app that are publicly available. And on that version, if you text someone, you can then upload that person's info and notes you make about them. For example, you know, whether or not you think they might be inclined to support your candidate, then you can submit that to the campaign.
We're speaking with Georgia Wells, tech reporter at the Wall Street Journal. She's got an exclusive story entitled Bloomberg Bankrolls a Social Media Army to push message. Did you say, too, that the Bloomberg campaign borrowed a page from the Trump campaign in some ways?
Yeah, the idea of trying to influence potential voters through people that they already know and trust was a strategy that the Trump campaign used very effectively in 2016. The distinction here is the Trump campaign has said that when they pay people to post on social, it's not using those people's private personal accounts. It's using, like, institutional handles and such.
Mm.
And it's possible, I guess, that, or no, you said the Blue Burn campaign also planned to recruit another 2,500 or so of these digital organizing fellows, as they call them?
Yeah, so at one point, the plan was just that, to hire, or they had discussed the idea of hiring 3,000 more fellows in California. Our understanding is that did not proceed, and the campaign does not plan to do that.
Thanks, Georgia. Georgia Wells, tech reporter at the Wall Street Journal. It's 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
From the opening bell, Democrats went after New York billionaire Mike Bloomberg and raised pointed questions about Bernie Sanders' take-no-prisoners politics during a contentious debate last night in Las Vegas. Senator Elizabeth Warren.
I'll support whoever the Democratic nominee is, but understand this. Democrats take a huge risk if we just substitute one arrogant billionaire for another.
Sanders tried to beat back pointed questions about his health.
Number two.
New virus cases in China have again declined, up just 394 after authorities again changed how they count new daily infections. Another 114 people have died from the illness, raising the death toll beyond 2,100.
Number three.
A lawyer for Julian Assange says the WikiLeaks founder plans to claim in court that the Trump administration offered to pardon him if he agreed to say Russia wasn't involved in leaking Democratic National Committee emails. Assange is fighting extradition to the U.S. on spying charges. Elsewhere, a federal appellate court has ruled that Florida can't restrict the voting rights of felons solely for being unable to pay outstanding financial obligations in a closely watched case unfolding weeks before the state's presidential primary. The court upheld a district court judge's preliminary injunction of a Florida law enacted last year after voters approved a 2018 constitutional amendment that restored voting rights to 1.5 million people with felony convictions. The measure included a provision that felons pay any fines, fees, or restitution they owe to fulfill all terms of their sentence. Police in New Orleans say a woman was struck and killed by a parade float as the city celebrated Mardi Gras. Witnesses say the woman tried to cross between a tandem float, which has two sections that are connected in the middle. She apparently tripped over the hitch connecting the two sections and was run over by the back half of the float. And airline passengers were slightly more likely to endure a flight delay last year, and there were more long tarmac delays, but the rate of complaints remained nearly unchanged from 2018. The Transportation Department says Hawaiian Airlines was the most punctual airline last year, while Delta was second. Frontier Airlines finished last. 302 domestic flights were stuck on the ground for 3 hours or longer, up 50% from 2018.
Holy cow. You can't really include Hawaiian Airlines.
I know.
I mean, they fly back and forth between Hawaiian Islands and California.
Yeah.
Delta? Okay, that's impressive.
Agreed.
Thanks, Jen. 22 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
You're a small business owner, and there's nothing small about what you do. That's why Dell Small Business Technology Advisors give you trusted advice, one-on-one partnership, and tailored tech solutions. Like computers with Intel Core processors, servers, storage, networking, plus thousands of top-brand electronics, accessories, and software. No matter your technology needs, Dell is here to help your small business do big things. Call 877-BUY-DELL to speak with an advisor today. That's 877-BUY-DELL.
Time now for a finance update, and it's brought to you by Marcus by Goldman Sachs. With a high-yield online savings account backed by the financial expertise of Goldman Sachs, you can money. Stocks are at record highs, the job market is booming, and fears about China's deadly coronavirus have eased on Wall Street. The bond market, however, is again flashing a potential warning signal for the global economy. Why the conflicting signals? Here to explain is Jessica Menton, markets reporter at USA Today. Jess, what's going on?
The stock and the bond markets have been at odds with each other in recent months, telling two different stories, really, about the outlook for economic growth ahead. And stocks have been trading at all-time highs, a sign that investors are still pouring money into shares under the belief that the U.S. will actually shake off these challenges from the coronavirus if it's contained. But if you take kind of a deeper look and you look at the bond market, they still foresee risks on the horizon that could slow the economy. So the bond market, again, has been flashing a potential warning signal for the economy like it did last summer with a brief parts of the yield curve that were inverting. And I think that's important to just keep an eye on as far as what's been driving that. And part of it was the coronavirus. because on fears about how that could hinder global growth, but yields also were already low ahead of this virus, just because, as you know, we had a lot of those lingering trade worries last year heading into 2020, and there also have been ongoing concerns in recent years just about sluggish growth.
All right, so if the bond market is indicating a warning or sending a warning, that warning means what? That a recession is likely or it's possible, or this is just going to be a hiccup in the global economy, the coronavirus?
Exactly. So I was asking analysts, which one is right if you're looking at what stock investors are doing versus what bond investors are doing? And they said one possible theory is that both are forecasting a similar story. And when they say that, they mean that investors have been adjusting their bets because inflation expectations have dropped. And also, you have the Federal Reserve as well as other global central banks. They've been lowering rates. And when you look at what stock investors are doing, they're expecting that, say if the U.S. economy does begin to slow a little bit, they think that the Fed will likely step in to make sure that the economy has some sort of soft landing and can still do well. If you look at, say, U.S. consumer, it's still very strong, even amidst what's happened in recent years with different trade woes or even with the coronavirus. We're still seeing strong consumer spending, and that's more than two-thirds of what really powers the economy. And so we don't see any sort of concerns on that end yet, but if, say, in the next few months we saw data pull back and what U.S. households are spending, that could be a concern moving forward.
We're speaking with Jessica Menten, markets reporter at USA Today. Her piece is called A Tale of Two Markets: Why Are Stocks and Bonds Diverging as Coronavirus Spreads? You referenced in your story, too, oil. What about oil?
That can be a barometer as far as future global growth is concerned. Oil prices slid into a bear market recently on concerns that the virus will end up disrupting supply. When you look at what's happening with China, I mean, this is the world's second largest economy. Copper is also another barometer that experts like to monitor as far as what the future growth could look like. And it's sensitive to global growth, and it's also dropped this year similar to oil prices. So because of that, to be sure, that's something that experts are still monitoring, and they want to see if that's something that's brief. And we've seen this happen with oil in recent years, where it's slid into a bear market and then has come out of that. But if this is something that's more sustained, that could be another red flag for the economy.
Thanks, Jess. Jessica Menten, markets reporter at USA Today. 30 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Every night, local police receive hundreds of calls from burglar alarms. The vast majority of the time, they have no idea whether the alarm is real. Is there really a crime going on or not? All the alarm company could tell them is that the motion sensor went off. SimpliSafe Home Security is different. If there's a break-in, SimpliSafe uses real video evidence to give police an eyewitness account. That means police dispatch up to 350% faster. You get comprehensive protection, too. Outdoor cameras alert you to anyone approaching from outside. Entry, motion, and glass break sensors guard the inside. I recently installed SimpliSafe. The easy-to-follow instructions made the process lightning fast, and you can certainly sleep better knowing that SimpliSafe is monitored 24/7 by live security professionals. Visit simplisafe.com/GordonDeal. You'll get free shipping and a 60-day risk-free trial. You got nothing to lose. Go now and visit simplisafe.com/GordonDeal so they know our show sent you. That's simplisafe.com/GordonDeal.
Catch America's First News online anytime at thismorningwithgordondeal.com.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Thursday, February 20th. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines. Mike Bloomberg under the microscope at his first presidential debate. Two elderly cruise ship passengers have died from coronavirus. Terrorist incident in Germany leaves 10 dead, including the gunman. The UK is limiting the number of low-skilled workers allowed into the country. Roger Stone to be sentenced today. Fresh record highs for the NASDAQ and S&P 500. The NFL reportedly trying to add one team per conference to the playoff format. And the 8-year-old Texas boy who got a special adoption ceremony. That story in about 20 minutes. NASCAR driver Ryan Newman has been released from the hospital just 2 days after his horrific crash during the final lap of the Daytona 500. His racing team tweeted a photo of the 42-year-old Newman walking out of the hospital
with his two daughters yesterday. Meanwhile, the wreck Monday night had all the trappings of a tragedy. A speeding car went flying up in the air, turned upside down, got hit midair by another car on the driver's side of the vehicle, then burst into flames as it skidded to a stop on its roof. Yet somehow, Newman survived in his number 6 Ford. Here's an in-depth look at the safety measures in place from Brent Schrotenbohr, reporter at USA Today. Brent, set this up.
For those who don't follow NASCAR, I mean, it's and watch that crash, which has been all over the news. I mean, you wonder how anybody could survive something like that. It flips upside down and gets hit on the driver's side of the car. And it's really a miracle that he survived. And in a way, it wasn't, because if you look at what happened after Dale Earnhardt, the legendary NASCAR driver, after he died in the Daytona 500 in 2001, the NASCAR people took a lot of steps with safety. They made a lot of advancements, and one of them is requiring head and neck restraints in the car. Another is providing better and more energy-absorbing walls so that you're not crashing into a concrete wall like has happened before Earnhardt's death. A number of drivers had died because of head injuries after collisions with a wall. And there have been other engineering things that they've done. They started a research and development center in Concord, North Carolina, that opened in 2003. And what they do is they certify cars as being safe enough. They do research and safety testing, and really always looking for ways to make a very dangerous sport a lot safer. And one of the other things I learned is that they put some energy and absorbing things on the sides of the car, and even moved the driver's seats closer to the center of the car. And you know, you take all those things together and you watch that crash that happened on Monday, and you can see how all those things could have saved his life.
We're speaking with Brent Schrotenbohr, sports reporter at USA Today, about his piece entitled "How Did Driver Ryan Newman Survive That NASCAR Crash at Daytona?" Happened Monday night. I didn't know that they had moved the driver's seat a little bit more toward the middle. That may have obviously helped Ryan Newman as well. I mean, to think that he hit the wall first, right, head on at, I would imagine, 190 miles an hour, if not more, yeah. Right, flies into the air, then gets hit on the driver's side, like, you know, what we would think, like maybe the side of his head, you know, by another car going that speed is just, it's unthinkable. But as you said, this R&D center, I guess, gets a lot of credit, and that's unique.
It is. I think they're the first motorsports governing body that had anything like that. And that's really proactive, you think about it. I mean, this kind of thing has been a so-called part of the game in auto racing for so long. And they realize, and one of the quotes I've read in other stories that I've read about this, is you can't have the heroes of your sport dying. There's something to that effect. And think about it. I mean, it's a smart business move, too. It's not totally out of the goodness of their hearts. If they want to continue to survive as a sport, they can't have people dying every year that are like Dale Earnhardt and Ryan Newman. So they made an investment in this kind of research and development, and it's paid off. I mean, that's not to say that they've not been lucky. I mean, there may have been, there haven't been any deaths in the three top national series in NASCAR since Earnhardt died, but there have been plenty of injuries and collisions, and sometimes you look at those and you wonder how they survived those. Yeah. You know, there were Kyle Busch in 2015, you know, broke his leg and his foot, and Dale Earnhardt's son, Dale Jr., retired a few years ago because, in part, he had suffered a number of concussions and was concerned about his future, and as far as that goes. So, I mean, it's not certainly a sport not without its risks. That's obvious to say, but you do wonder, though, even though they have made such progress, that, I mean, it's the risk is always going to be there, and you still think it's a little bit of a crapshoot. And if you watch that video, the Ryan Newman crash, some luck had to be involved, too. I mean, all those safety things definitely help, but you know, you're flying around and spinning in the air with your car on a track like that. It's like there's a little bit of luck with landing in the right place and that sort of thing.
Thanks, Brent. Brent Schrotenbohr, sports reporter at USA Today. Again, Ryan Newman walked out of the hospital yesterday. 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Family is big around here. We're family-owned, family-operated, family-managed. And that means legacy. That means dependability. That means using Grainger. With over 1.5 million products and knowledgeable product experts, Grainger has whatever we need. And with same-day pickup and next-day delivery options, they have it whenever we need it. For over 90 years, businesses like ours have trusted Grainger. Because, like family, Grainger's got our back. Call, click Grainger.com, or stop by to see for yourself. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Friday Eve. It is time now for the mic drop with This Morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, we know that food chains go to great lengths to make sure that their products look perfect in ads, often looking nothing like what you get in the restaurant. Burger King took that to a new level in reverse yesterday, unveiling pictures of its new preservative-free Whopper. In the campaign, the Whopper is covered in mold, decaying as it's consumed by green fungus. The unconventional marketing effort includes a TV commercial showing the all-natural Whopper slowly rotting over the course of 34 days. The moldy Whopper may look unappealing, but the company is betting customers will respond to the idea of a preservative-free Whopper, as they say customers are craving healthier organic ingredients.
That could be an inspiration for sure.
You give them credit. It is plant-based, right?
Yep.
So they continue to go in that direction. What I like about it is that it's kind of a go big or go home situation for they're like, look, this is either going to be the greatest thing ever and it's going to boost sales,
right,
or this is going to turn everybody off and no one's going to buy a Whopper again.
Right.
So we'll have to see.
So if it's not the plant-based Whopper,
yeah,
and sales tank, we're right. we're going back to the Whopper that disintegrates and gets moldy over 34 days.
Right. We're trying lots of things here.
That's a risk. It's bold, for sure.
I mean, it did make me want to run out and go grab one, I can tell you that much. But if you're turning me off, that's a problem.
Wow.
And there are few among us, Gordon, that don't get nervous before a big speech or presentation, with some of us perhaps taking extra care to make sure our perspiration can't be seen or smelled by others. None of us, though, have a staff devoted to making sure we look cool, calm, and dry, like Mark Zuckerberg reportedly does. According to a new book, the Facebook CEO has assistants prep his famous gray t-shirts to make sure they are immaculate before he takes the stage at public events, and as part of that routine, they even blow dry his armpits. A Facebook spokesperson told Business Insider that they doubt this claim is true, and if it is, it would be at the request of the company communications department, not Zuckerberg. Nonetheless, that didn't stop rivals from getting in a jab at Zuckerberg, with Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey saying that he's never asked an employee to blow dry his armpits, but that he'd be happy to provide that service for his team if needed.
I see. Very nice. Very nice. Dorsey maybe, piling on.
Yes, maybe we need that around here. Maybe that should be a job of our next intern that we bring in here.
Oh.
You know, making sure that when we go out there in the public, one or two times a year that we do leave this building, that, you know, we look cool, calm, and dry.
I did, I guess, lectured at Rutgers, I don't know, maybe two semesters ago,
yeah,
and I saw follow-up pictures. And I had sweaty pits. I'm
on. And they posted those online.
It was a gray gray dress shirt also.
Yeah, yeah. Apparently gray t-shirts, not good.
Yeah.
Maybe Zuckerberg should think about that when he goes out there.
You know, my nervous tick, I guess, for lack of a better word, is I get cold hands.
Oh, yeah.
I don't sweat, but it was just so hot in the classroom,
right,
you know, with closed windows and all. Just, it was kind of embarrassing. Not so good.
I'm telling you, we need that. On the team. We put that in there for requirements for our next intro.
You're on to something, Mike. You know what we need? We need portable armpit dryers.
Oh, that too.
That you can just battery operated, that you can carry in your pocket, right?
Come on, Amazon. Let's make this happen.
13 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Your credit card probably gives you 1% cash back, but what does your bank account give you? Most banks give you 0.1% APY interest on your savings, but you should be earning more. With the Wealthfront Cash Account, you earn more interest on your money. They have one of the highest interest rates in the market at 1.78% annual percentage yield. That's 18 times more interest than the national average of 0.1%, according to Bankrate.com. And it's so fast and easy to get started. It only takes a dollar and a few minutes to open an account. You can even do it right from your phone. No paperwork required. Plus, there are no fees, and your money is FDIC insured up to $1 million through their partner banks. Right now, you can sign up for the Wealthfront Cash Account in less than 5 minutes by visiting wealthfront.com/Gordon. Go to wealthfront.com/Gordon and start earning 18 times more interest on all your savings. That's wealthfront.com/Gordon. Wealthfront is not a bank. Cash account is offered by Wealthfront Brokerage, LLC, member FINRA, SIPC. Wealthfront conveys funds to partner banks who accept and maintain deposits, provide the interest rate, and provide FDIC insurance. The APY is subject to change.
We shouldn't have to choose between one candidate who wants to burn this party down and another candidate who wants to buy this party out. But we can do better.
Pete Buttigieg at the Las Vegas presidential debate last night, talking about Bernie Sanders and Mike Bloomberg. Jennifer has more on that in just a moment. Meanwhile, if you find yourself eating too much added sugar and unhealthy fats, it might be because you're not getting enough sleep. That's according to a new study in the Journal of the American Heart Association. Researchers from Columbia University's Irving Medical Center examined the associations between measures of sleep quality and the dietary patterns of nearly 500 women who took part in the year-long study of sleep patterns and cardiovascular risk in women. CNN says what they found was that the poorer their quality of sleep and the less they slept, the more the women consumed added sugars, saturated fats, and caffeine. According to the researchers, the findings are important because women are at high risk for obesity and sleep disorders, which can both be driven by a high intake of food. Foods high in added sugars and unhealthy fats are also linked to health conditions and diseases, including type 2 diabetes, heart disease, and obesity. 8 minutes in front of the hour on this morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Six Democratic presidential hopefuls met on the debate stage in Las Vegas last night, but it was the newcomer who received the most attention. Mike Bloomberg came under attack from all the other five, Senator Bernie Sanders.
Mr. Bloomberg had policies in New York City of stop and frisk, which went after African-American and Latino people in an outrageous way. That is not a way you're going to grow voter turnout.
Number two.
Federal prosecutors are taking charge of the investigation into a mass shooting in the German city of Hanau that left 11 people dead, including the suspect. 9 people were killed at 2 hookah bars overnight. Police say they found the bodies of the suspected shooter and another person at a house not far from the second bar. Authorities say the suspect appeared to have a far-right motive.
Number three.
Japan's health ministry says 2 passengers taken off the Diamond Princess cruise ship because they had a new virus have died, becoming the first fatalities from the virus-stricken vessel. President Trump has named Richard Grenell, the current U.S. ambassador to Germany, as his next acting director of national intelligence, turning to a loyalist amid protracted disputes with his own intelligence agencies. Grenell, who is known for his close ties to Trump, will succeed the current acting director, Joseph McGuire, whose temporary term expires in March. The New Orleans Saints are heading to court today to block the release of hundreds of confidential emails detailing behind-the-scenes public relations work the team did for the area's Roman Catholic Archdiocese amid its sexual abuse crisis. The request comes amid claims the NFL team joined the Archdiocese of New Orleans to conceal sexual abuse, an allegation the Saints deny. We may see additional NFL games starting this fall. NFL owners will meet in New York City tomorrow afternoon to discuss a wide range of topics, including a new collective bargaining agreement. They'll be discussing the 17-game schedule as well as a new playoff structure. The current CBA proposal has 7 teams from each conference making the playoffs instead of 6, with only 1 team receiving a first-round bye per conference.
That makes wild card weekend insane.
It does.
3 games Saturday, right? 3 Sunday?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Thanks, Jen. 6 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. An 8-year-old boy in Texas is finally getting the family he has always wanted after being in the foster care system for half of his life. Fox News says Nikki Garza was celebrated by more than 300 people inside of a Collin County courtroom during a special adoption ceremony that included an appearance from Batman and swag from the Dallas Cowboys. After living more than 4 years as a foster child, Nikki was adopted by David and Christy Schwartz, joining their other 2 children, one of whom is also adopted. In attendance during the special occasion were the second grader's friends, classmates, and members of his church, all wearing T-shirts that read, "May the Schwartz be with you," which is a play on his new family's surname and a quote from the 1987 movie Spaceballs. Nikki also got a huge surprise when he was gifted with a football signed by his favorite NFL player, Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott, and the entire 2019 Cowboys team. He also received other Cowboys goods. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. As a small business owner, you need protection for your physical and financial assets. From general and professional liability insurance to business owners and commercial auto policies, GEICO can help. Go to geicocommercial.com for your free quote and see how much you could save today.